email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, 51551 ray@rte.ie. Now, let me bring you back to 2016 and an RTE primetime documentary, My Homeless Family, which dealt with a number of families who were living in emergency accommodation in B&Bs and hotels. And one of the families was Erica Fleming and her nine-year-old daughter. And it featured, and as a result of that, Erica came to the attention of the nation, came to our attention. We had her on, she was on the Late Late Show, and she became an advocate and a spokesperson for people who were in emergency accommodation. Now, we spoke to her numerous occasions back then, and she went off and lived her life in her new apartment. And we decided this week was a special week to talk to her again, so she's on the phone. How are you doing, Erica?
Hey, Ray. Thanks a million for having me on.
Yeah, great to talk to you again.
You too.
So, tell us about this week and pressing the button.
This week was a major week. Well, Wednesday particularly, because I handed in my final thesis for my degree.
Congratulations.
So I'm done and dusted. Yeah, I know.
So just to remind people, you got into the Access programme in Trinity College.
Yeah, it was Gary Gannon who told me about the Trinity Access programme. I never knew. You know, it was never a dream of mine. Not that it wasn't a dream of mine. I never thought that I would get an opportunity to go to college. And I was actually speaking to Gary Gannon about my daughter Emily and, you know, what she needed to do to get into college in the future. And he told me about the Access programme and kind of forced me to apply. So I did, and I got a place, thank God. And it just changed my life.
So you've done a degree now in English, handed in your thesis. So there's nothing more you can do. That's it.
No.
Right.
No. So, like, at the moment, as it stands, I'm on a 2-1. My average grade is a 2-1.
Right.
So, with this last thesis, hopefully it stays at 2-1 and I graduate and that's it.
Brilliant.
We'll
talk about what you hope to do in the future, but just a quick few words on your thesis. So I'll read out the full title and then you can give us the pub explanation, if you like. Exploring the recurring themes used in historical and contemporary literature to highlight the oppressive patriarchal ideals which ultimately supported the incarceration of women in both the mother and baby homes and the Magdalen laundries in 20th century Ireland.
Yeah, that's it. It's a bit wordy, isn't it?
Yeah, but wordy, and it's worthy though, or W-O-R-T-H-Y as well. It's an important piece of work, I would imagine.
Well, please God, because, you know, the Magdalen laundries, we should never, ever, ever be allowed to forget. And I actually think it's so wrong that children in secondary school aren't taught about the Magdalen laundries, you know, because it is part of our history. And so that's where I just wanted to write a piece on it. And I basically started from the 14th century and worked my way up just to show how there was an oppressive regime against women, you know what I mean? And I just highlighted through each era how women were affected by society's patriarchal regimes, you know? That's exactly what I done right up until the 20th century.
And did it make you angry?
When I was doing the reading for it, yeah, I definitely was really, really, really angry. I read a fantastic book by Kaylin Hogan. I hope I'm saying her name right. It's called The Republic of Shame. It's one of the best books that I've ever read. She's an investigative journalist. And her book is very, very interesting because it's not her opinion. Do you know what I mean? It's more
fact.
Yeah, it's present. Yes. So there's not a lot of her in it. It's basically, she finds out, you know, she digs through the archives. It's brilliant.
Okay.
I mean, there were certainly pieces of literature that I read that it really made me angry. But then that's the whole point, isn't it, I suppose? You know, you have to feel something when you're reading
Yeah, of course.
The literature, because if you didn't, then it would be just boring. What would be
no.
the point?
And I suppose back in 2016, you were very angry about your situation and other people's situations. And that's why you became vocal. You became a spokesperson. You took to the street.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. So you were 22 months in emergency accommodation, yourself and Emily. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and people might remember those, you know, the scenes of you, and it was so claustrophobic, living out of a hotel room, and the sad thing is that people continue to do that. That is the sad thing.
Yeah, that's true. It's kind of like, although it was a difficult situation, it was kind of a situation that just made us stronger, me and Emily.
Yeah.
And it's something that, although, you know, we went through it, it's kind of something that it's at the back of your mind and you just don't think about it anymore.
Because in speaking to people like Sister Stan and other people who were working with, you know, people in emergency accommodation and people who were homeless, one recurring theme is the effect this might or will have on children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, Emily's whole thing, like, if I am to mention, you know, that period of time in our lives, her thing is, I don't want to talk about it, move on, you know.
Right. That's
exactly, because she says to me on Wednesday, oh, it's the end of an era, you know, because I'm finished college.
Yes.
And I said, yeah, and it's just like, it literally, like, the door closes on, you know, the period of our lives when we were homeless and then been in college. And she said, no, Mom, that was a different period when we were homeless. She said, don't put those two things together.
Yeah.
But I find it difficult not to, because if I didn't become an advocate, if I wasn't so outspoken, I would have never met Gary Gannon, so therefore I would have never gotten into the Trinity Access Program.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
But
so
you see what Emily's saying, because I remember that day when you got the keys to your two-bedroom apartment. And you showed us around it as much as you can on radio. That was a new beginning for you and Emily. So maybe that's what Emily's talked about. You know, she separates, that day separates, you know, the before, you know, you got the flat. And you're still in the same place.
I am indeed, of course. Just
yeah.
At home.
And how?
Emily's settled.
Yeah, and she's, what, she's 13, 14, is she?
No, she's 15.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
So what year is she going into?
She's going into third year.
Yeah.
So, yes, she's looking forward to that, you know. And I'm definitely looking forward to her actually being back in school and not being at home doing online learning.
Yeah, yeah.
Get the kids back in there quickly.
And just, like, getting through college, you know, it's very doable. But if you're a single parent, that must have been very difficult for you. Was it tough?
No, it definitely is. Like, there's no two ways about it. It's difficult anyway as a mature student, you know, making that leap and going without money, you know what I mean? And giving up, like, having a way, you know, that kind of way. So that's difficult anyway. But then when you have young children or a child like I did, that also, you know, is another hurdle that you have to overcome. Because at the end of the day, yes, you would love to be able to sit down and dedicate your every waking moment to your studies, but that's just not realistic. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Your child comes first, or your children come first, and so they have activities and events that they have to go to, and they also just want your time. Do you know what I mean? Mm. So there was times when I was under pressure with a deadline or whatever, and I would be at the kitchen table, you know, night and day, and Emily would say, oh, I feel like you're ignoring me. But it wasn't that I was ignoring her. It was just like, I just had to get it done. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you're very conscious of that as well. You're trying to...
And Erica, were there moments when you thought you'd bitten off more than you could chew?
Ray, every year I felt like that. There's never been a time when I was in college that I was like, oh yeah, like, I'm brilliant. This is great, you know. Even when I got essay results, I would still be like, oh, I don't know whether that's good enough, or I don't think I should be here. Do you know what I mean? I definitely lacked self-belief throughout the 4 years. I mean, when you're in the Trinity Access Programme, you know, the staff, they kind of, they're like a support blanket for you, do you know what I mean? Like a comfort blanket. So when you're having moments of
self-doubt.
Yes, they constantly reassure you. Mm. And then when I went into Trinity College, I obviously the staff in the access program are still there, you know, if you need them.
Yeah.
But, you know, the office isn't 2 seconds away from you. So when I was having moments of self-doubt, I have to say the number one person that was flying the flag for me and cheering me on and being my cheerleader was Emily. Oh. I mean, there's been many, many times when I've been crying and saying, you know, trying to get an essay in and reading over and over again and saying this just isn't good enough. And she is always the one that would be saying, you can do this. I believe in you. I know you can do it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, she is just fantastic. Oh. I just can't really explain it to you. She's
I think you've done a good job there. I think you've done a very good job there. So the future now, with your degree in English, what do you hope to do?
Up until recently, the number one thing that I wanted to do, that I was definitely 100% sure on, I wanted to teach.
Right.
But I needed to go and get a master's in education for that. Yep. So that's another 2 years.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm kind of ready just to make money right now because I'm absolutely sick of being broke. I've had enough of that. 5 years of living on the bread line. No thanks. So I'm kind of torn, you know, and I'm going to speak to my advisor in the Trinity Access program just to see what the options are. I might give her a ring then next week, you know.
Okay.
But ideally, I mean, I would definitely like to work in the education sector.
Great.
That would be the dream, you know.
Yeah.
Especially, I just think coming from the background that I come from and the area that I come from, there's lots of children that they just don't think that college is achievable, you know. And I would love to keep pumping them up and keep telling them you can do it, you know, you can get there if you really want it, you know what I mean?
Brilliant, Very important.
A 1,000,000%.
Yeah. Angela's been on. I just want to say how much I admire Erica's courage. She took a giant leap into the unknown and persevered. She's a fantastic role model. I've read a couple of poems that Erica wrote and English was definitely her subject. Well done, Erica. I'm so proud of you. That's Angela.
Thanks very much.
Okay. Erica, great to talk to you and well done on getting that
thanks
in. And
so
will you give Emily a big hug for us?
Definitely. Yeah. I will indeed.
Okay.
Thanks a million for having me on today.
We'll talk to you again, I'm sure. Thanks, Erica.
You will. See you,
Ray. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.